Amen. Well, let's get our books. I can't read to you unless I have my glasses. Amen. Page 243. Okay. And the topic is to know him. And the scripture is Philippians 3:10. You want to borrow mine? No. Okay. And the scripture is Philippians 3:10. It says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now we're going to start reading the comment. It says, God has granted all of humanity an awesome opportunity. First, despite the separation from God that sin has imposed upon mankind, God offers the availability of salvation through Christ. Second, God invites those who have accepted his gracious offer of clemency an even greater and more abounding opportunity. That is, he invites his children to get to know him in an intimate way. From the depths of my soul, I want to know him. The longing of my heart is to press so close that I feel what he feels and think as he thinks. We are invited to get as close to God as we desire. There are no limits placed on his time for us. He waits graciously as we walk tentatively towards his person, never too busy, never shooing us away, and never cutting us off. No matter how stumbling our efforts, he always receives us. No matter how infrequent our activities to know him in a deeper way, he never refuses our advances. With arms open wide, he invites us to the depths of his knowledge and the exquisite grandeur of his person. The greater of all the universe has invited us to get to know him, and I will answer that call. Draw me nearer, precious Lord. And I wrote down, and I know this was, and it says, to know him and to make him known. To know him and to make him known throughout the world. Whatever we can do in our community, whatever we can do in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. If you would take your Bibles, let's make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn, and this is going to be kind of a familiar scripture. I think just about everybody has heard this, but I want you to turn to Proverbs 29:18, page 1068. 1068. Every believer, before I read the scripture, every believer is to have a vision which pertains to the life they are to live for the Lord. Interesting. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he who keeps the law, happy is he. Now, I want to read the comment. It says, and this is the comment of that verse. It says, the vision and the law point to the Bible. Always the Bible. Interesting. Here we see, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he who keeps the law, happy is he. Really, this scripture is kind of pointing to two different aspects of it. One, it talks about having people, God can give visions and dreams to people. I mean, you know, like, you know, last night you slept. Hopefully everybody had a good night's sleep. And maybe you had a dream that was from the Lord. I mean, that happens. He's still in the business of those things. Of giving you. Now, you got to always remember, dreams can come from three different areas. Dreams can come from your own self, just you. You know, it can come from Satan, the enemy. It can also come from God. And that's what we want. The God kind of dreams and the God kind of visions that he gives. And you might say, well, you know, people are still having visions. People have told me about visions. They've seen things while in church here. I mean, you know, just God just moving. That's the Spirit of the Lord in the last days, people. Giving visions and dreams like that. But also, there's another type of vision that it says, and then I'll read the scripture again. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he who keeps the law, happy is he. Also, he's talking about the vision of his word. Interesting. When you and I got saved and we gave our hearts to Christ, God came and has taken lordship in our hearts and lives. And the vision he gives us now is to live a life that is pleasing unto him. But he gives us that vision of seeing things through his word. It's interesting. It says this, and I'll read it again. Where there is no vision, if you want to place it this way, where there is, in this aspect, no word, the people perish. You see, when we start to live our lives after we get saved, the conviction power of the Holy Spirit now abides in us. And as we read this word and it becomes alive unto us, and we start to consume this word and get it in our hearts and get it in our spirits, it is a vision in that aspect of the word of God in our lives, and it keeps us from doing things that maybe we shouldn't do, because the word of God has been instilled by the Holy Spirit in us. If we live by the word of God, we will have life. If we don't live by the word of God, we shall perish. Are we all going to die, basically, unless the Lord comes? You know that. I'm talking about just death, physically. But he's talking about this perishing of the death of the soul here. That's one aspect of it. We got to make sure the word becomes alive unto us. And it only can be alive unto us as we open it up, number one. I'm not going to close it because I want my place. We can't put that word on the shelf and think it will become alive to us and never go by it. We have to open it up so we don't perish. We know the truth of the gospel. We know what God says about particular things. We study it. We get it in our hearts. We get it in our spirits. Look, put it on your phone. Let it read back to you. Whatever you got to do. So that we don't perish of a lack of the word of God and we don't know what it says. Just imagine this. Every time you open this word, you have the God of Israel. You have the God that has made the universe, the earth, and everything in it alive unto you, speaking to you and I. No other God can do that except the God that we know, Jehovah God. Scripture's pinned down by the word of God. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, it says, and I was reading that earlier, it says that the prophets of old, prophetic things they would say, they would study the scriptures from old. They would study about grace because they didn't understand it. You see, we have grace here. Since Jesus died on Calvary's cross, the grace of God, which is unmerited favor towards an undeserving people, has been bestowed upon us. We now have Jesus living inside of our lives. They didn't have that. The Spirit of God would come upon them and they would act and do. We have the Spirit of God in us and we act and we do. Totally different. Totally different. We're constantly in the Old Testament studying the scriptures, trying to find out what was the meaning of grace, because they did not know what it was. They could not feel it so much like we have it today. So they would constantly, you can read it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, 11, that they would search the scriptures, my Lord, in the old. We are still searching the scriptures. We believe Jesus is coming, but we've never seen it yet. They search the scriptures for the grace of God. We search the scriptures for the return of our Lord and Savior. How many in the Old Testament lost their lives because they didn't believe in the grace of God? And how many people today are losing their way because they don't believe Jesus is coming back? He's coming back for a people. One day, that sky will split wide open and the trump will sound and he's coming for the church, the body of Christ that is ready for him. Ready for him. I'm not saying spotless or sinless. He calls us spotless. And I keep saying, Lord, I don't know how you see it. But I know it's through the blood, you see, that he sees us. Here we see, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he who keeps the law, and you know what the law is? The law is just the word of God. The law is the word of God, keeping it. You might say, well, Pastor, I can't follow every little detail. We don't know every little detail, but the things we do know, we follow. You see? Whatever he opens up of light to you, that's what you follow. Okay? And you always have to be open. Lord, show me more. As we were reading in that breadcrumbs book, he wants to know the heartbeat of God, to be so close to him, to hear the heartbeat of our God. How much do you and I desire the things of the Lord in him? Have we gone cold a little bit? And I'm not saying just because, you know, someone's shouting whatever, and that doesn't mean they're close. I mean, that could mean. I don't want to belittle. But you see, God looks at the heart of a man and a woman and says, what can I do? As we put our faith and trust in him. Joy of keeping God's word, emphasizing that true direction comes from obeying divine law, which is the word of God. The Bible serves as a foundation of God's character, will, and purpose for humanity, acting as a complete guide for life today. Amen. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 12, please. Genesis chapter 12. Like I said earlier, there's a two. It's two part, basically. One is when we get saved to follow the word of God. Number two could be what God puts visions and dreams or desires, godly desires, that we fulfill. Because without that vision, we shall perish. Perish. My Lord. Look at verse Genesis 12, page 22. I'm speaking and not turning. That's okay. I'm sorry, Genesis 12. And I you know what? I'm getting the page number. Genesis 12, page 22. Okay. Look at verse 1 and 2. Now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them who bless you and curse him who curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Here we see God gives a command unto Abram, depart from this land. That means leave all your family. It leaves your father, your mother, your brothers, your sisters, whoever else down the line. And go to a land that he didn't even know. That's direction from the Holy Spirit. And here when he gives him this command to him, He's still called Abram, not Abraham. See, God is still in the business of giving direction. God is still in the business of visions for his people. God is still in the business of dreams. What if Abraham, or Abram we would call him, would have said no? What if he would have said, you know, Father, I just don't know if that's the right thing for me to do. Abram would have missed out on seeing what God could do. See, we don't realize, and maybe sometimes we don't take it to heart, the things that God speaks to our minds and hearts, and we know it's God. Sometimes we may not take it to heart and fully do what God commands. But Abram had to take his wife and him and all that he had, basically, that he could load up, and go to a land, Haran, which he didn't know. That's faith. That's faith. God is still speaking today to his people. See, we have a God that's about to come. I don't know anything else that could stop him from coming. Anything prophecy that has not been fulfilled yet. It's been done. The preaching of the gospel is throughout the world now. People can get on and see things that they've never seen before. The gospel of Jesus Christ. We have more missionaries than ever before. We have more preachers than ever before. Just preaching the gospel. Trying to get it out. Whatever denominations they are. It's there. See, we gotta know that Jesus is coming. And we gotta make sure that we do everything we can to get that word out. That he is coming. And no one wants to be left. He went to a land he didn't know. But all because of a word that God spoke to him. Think back of the things that God has spoken to you. He spoke something to you. And did you fulfill what he said? Now you might say, well, you know, Pastor, you're making me feel bad about myself now. I just want to awaken you a little bit. Don't take things lightly, the things of God. You know, I'm not saying, you know, be sad, but what I'm saying is repent and you ask God forgiveness and you go on. Now look at this. I want you to turn to Genesis 26. Because you see, he went to a land and God said he would give it to them. Look at chapter 26, verse 4. It says this, and he made him a promise, and he said, I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto your seed all these countries, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Verse 5, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Here we see, God spoke to him as Abram, God fulfilled it as Abraham. You see, God will speak things to you. If we want the blessings of the Lord and we want God to move, we got to do what God says. We have to, as the body of Christ, there's a soul that is relying upon you. I think of the times that God brought Jelaine and I here to this area. My Lord, and it's going to be 17 years this November coming. 16? 17. Oh. No, we in 16. Look, we came, we had nothing. Zero. But because of whatever happened and things or whatever, we had to leave and we had to go. I've heard many churches tried to start in this area but never could succeed. Of all kinds of denominations. You know, I'm talking about full gospel denominations. From Assembly to whatever, Foursquare, well, all kinds of stuff. And I said, well, Lord, I don't know what to do, but we'll do whatever. Came with nothing. And all we did was just stay. And we saw the hand of God. We were able to rent that buildings here and the other building over there. Tore that old thing down, built a brand new building. And honestly, I thought that's where we'd be. I honestly thought that. Till God showed something else here. We bought this building, paid cash for it. I say cash check, you know what I'm talking about. No debt. When we look, we had barely $4,000 left. And that's to pay everything. And what you do? We say, okay, Lord, we got a building. Thank you, Lord. You know, with a building comes responsibilities, huh? That means insurance, keep up, all kinds of stuff. But you see, when you're in the hands of the Lord and you're doing how he wants to do it, God will make provisions. However, and God has blessed, God has moved, and thank you for your giving. Thank you. It overwhelms me at times, honestly. It honestly overwhelms me at times. Because I know what you need. And I know what's going on in a lot of your lives. But God has blessed. Because you see, God keeps his word. As we give and we obey the word of God, he keeps his word in the blessings. Because you see, I don't want a curse upon this church by the Lord. Or any of you as the families. We want the blessings of the Lord. And obedience brings the blessing upon our hearts, upon our lives, more than what we ever could dream of. They got to this land, and it says, and I'll read it again, verse 4 and 5. It says, and I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of the heavens. And I will give your seed all these countries, and your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statute, and my laws. Because he obeyed, Abraham's seed was multiplied over and over as the sand of the sea, of the seas and the stars of the sky. Those were not his till he heeded the call of the voice and did what God wanted him to do. We can't expect blessing when we're not doing what God wants, people. We can only expect the blessings when we're at where God wants us to be. Let me tell you this. I wouldn't want to preach in any other place. As far as a pastor, you might go preach, you know, here or there. But pastor, any other place but here. No way. Because I want the blessings of the Lord. Now, you know, at time, you know, when you have to retire and all that stuff happens, whatever. But, you know, God knows what's what. Be where God wants you to be. And I'm telling you, blessings will flow. Now, look at this. You know, at times, we're talking about the second part of visions. God gives visions to his people, audible visions of things. This is true of every believer. Concerns the life and living of the individual, what that person is supposed to do as it regards his or her part in the great kingdom of God. Vision, faithfully followed with instructions sought from the Holy Spirit, we are sure that good fruit will be the result. You see, God will give a vision, and we got to do it the way he says to do it, on his terms. And I know, so, and I, when I say vision, I mean, it could be a vision, but it could be just something God places in your heart as an individual. You see, look at it this way. I cannot call you into ministry. Now, we have that from the pulpit nowadays. Well, it's the father, then the son, then the grandson, then the great-grandson, and just on and on and on. And that might be what God wants. But I can't call you to ministry. I can't call you to feed the hungry. I can't call you to go and help somebody. I can't call you to go into the nursing home and pray with people. I can't call you to go to the hospital and pray with people and share with them about Jesus Christ. I can't, you know, I can't call you to go to places where people are mentally out of it, as far as on drugs. But you see, God can call you, and when God calls you to do that, you take that vision or that impress of what God puts upon your heart, and you go to him. Don't lose it. Because I know many of you have things upon your heart that God has put, but don't let it get pushed aside to the back wall. Keep it at the forefront of your heart and your mind. Keep it at the forefront of the Father. Let the Holy Spirit work and do. And at his timing, it will come about. Just like Abraham, God took him out of a land, brought him to another land, and said, I will make your seed like the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. He didn't know that. All he did was obey that one thing, and that was hard. And let me tell you this, some things are hard to obey with God. Some things are not easy. Not easy. But we need to allow the Holy Spirit to move. Look at this. Where God guides, he provides. Oh, my Lord. Where God guides, he provides. God gives a vision, a dream, a burden. He also provides the necessary resources, people, and strength to fulfill it. God ensures the necessary provision to match the divine vision, ensuring that what he starts, look, he completes. Obedience and faith are key to activating this provision. I want you to turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 6. I want to encourage you, people. I know that God has placed things upon your hearts and upon your lives, and you have wondered about it because you're not seeing the results of anything. It's not you to bring it about. You or I to bring things about. It is us to obey as he speaks, and he brings it about in his timing for us. Because he knows what is best for us. Look at Genesis 6, verse 8 and 9. It says, but Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. People, let's just walk with the Lord. Just walk with him. He knows everything, and this is going to shock you. He knows everything that's wrong with you and I. Okay? He knows what's wrong in your heart and my heart. He knows what's happening in your life and in your family. He knows it. Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. That's what we want. We want the grace of God as we walk with God. Lord, you may not understand this, but you know this is an area I need your help in. He understands it all. Because our God became human and knows what it is to be tempted in every way that you and I are tempted upon this earth. He knows how it feels to be tempted. Tempted beyond measure. From Satan himself, yet stood because his faith was in his Father. You see, we can never overcome anything or stand firm unless our faith is in what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. It cannot be in a church, people. It cannot be in a human being. It cannot be in a pastor. It cannot be in anything. Your spouse, zero. Cannot be in any of those things except what Jesus did. What Jesus did. That will help you to overcome. And he will give you the grace and the understanding and the power and the strength to be an overcomer. Blessed are they that overcome. They shall inherit the earth, my Lord. Look at Genesis 6, verse 13 and 14. And he said this, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall you make in an ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch." We'll just stop right there. Can you imagine? You know, we read the story about Noah's ark and you know, how they came two by two, you know, and all this, and so there was six, whatever. But they came in. But God spoke to Noah, a just man, "Build me an ark." He gave him the specifications, how long, how high, how wide, how to build it. It was just him, his wife, his three sons, and their spouses that worked on that boat. Just think if he wouldn't have done it. Because the flood was coming no matter what. You see what I'm saying? Things are happening upon the earth, which, matter of fact, I'm sure everyone, one of you heard, at somebody tried was shooting at the White House correspondence meeting. Oh, they captured him. They're going to get him. They got him, but they're going to handle him. Trying to kill our president and our vice president. Anyone in authority. That's just not right. That's not right. The first thing I found out, he's from California. And I said, oh, well. I told Jelaine, that explains it. The land of fruits and nuts, you know. I'm not trying to, California, I've never been there. I've never been there, but I heard it's an awesome place, you know. I mean, as a state, some of the people, just like we have some people that are not, you know, whatever. But that's bar note. We need to pray for our president, people. He's hitting some areas that people don't like. some dark areas and let the light shine. So we need to pray that God would move. But here we see it took him a long time to build that boat. But he stayed the course. God gave him the vision. Will you stay the course in what God has shown you? Will you stay the course? Yes. Personally, but whatever person, you know, talking about just your individual life towards God, and also anything that he has impressed upon your heart to do, keep it before him. Never give up. Never give up. Can you imagine after 60 years, you know, or so, I mean, you know, Noah's looking and the hope the boat is maybe a third built, you know, people laughing at him, and he's saying, I can't do this. And I'm sure he may have come to the place of, I'm sure there was some times of, you know, he was discouraged, huh? Yeah. Have you ever felt discouraged? You should have shouted me down, because I know every one of you have, just like me sometimes. But you see, we don't look at the discouragement. That's what the enemy wants. He wants you to look at the discouragement. We keep our eyes on the God that can make all things possible happen. See? So what God puts upon your heart, you keep your eyes upon him and him alone. And you will see that God will do mighty things like we've never seen him do before. Because you see, he's coming. We got to share the gospel in every area that we can. Every person that God brings our way. Lord, I often pray, Lord, open the door for me to share something. Open the door somehow, some way. Somehow, some way. You know, just, Lord, open it somehow, some way. Sometimes he does something, you know, sometimes I think maybe I miss it, whatever. But you keep going on because he's coming back. He makes the provision for us, but also God's endorsement of a vision is in itself a guarantee of his provision, people. God will provide to know him and to make him known. God-given vision or calling or purpose is accompanied by divine backing, often in terms of strength, opportunity, wisdom, and sometimes even financial backing, however he wants to do it. But let me tell you this, when God gives you something, you better behold, the enemy will try to bring division. He will try. He will try to bring division. Division unto the what's happening. He will try to sidestep you in a different direction. What if Noah and his wife and his children and their spouses would have said one day, got up and said, this is it. And walked off the job. The boat halfway built. And it would have been a replica of the failure of God. As people walk by. They would say, yeah, that's what their God could do. Look at that. You know. Look at that. But you see, he kept on. Well, I say hammer. I don't know what they use. Whatever. He kept on with the hammer. He kept with the saw. He kept cutting. He kept taking those trees. He kept getting the gopher wood and building it the way God says. Can you imagine? As he would take, because God gave him the plans. Can you imagine? Often say, Lord, give me the plans of whatever you want us to do here, Lord. I mean, he gave him the plans, how long, how wide, how high to build this thing. And can you imagine as Noah would take these plans, and I often think of an architect, you know, they, you know, take out those plans every morning and look. This is God's plan for us today, my Lord. And God would build his spirit up and say, you can make it. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. You might say, you know, look, I've often thought, Lord, you spoke everything into being. Why can't you just speak a big boat into being? I mean, you know, he could have if he wanted to. But he chooses not to do things most of the time like that. Yeah. He chooses to use humanity. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. I mean, look, why couldn't Jesus just show up in the heavens and every eye upon him because of the sound of everything and him just preach the gospel? You might say, well, why didn't he just do it? He chose not to do it that way. He chose to use us, humanity, to share the gospel with people, that they could feel and sense the presence of Almighty God. We're special people. We are with God. Humanity's special people. No one that I know, no other being has had the God leave heaven and come and be born and be vulnerable as a baby and then die on Calvary's cross. No other except humanity. And to know many people reject him and go to other things. You might say, well, that's in the world. No, in the church too. They reject what they talk a little bit about the cross. And they might even mention it. Don't be deceived. But they're talking about self and getting there on what they can do. Listen to what they say. It's not by our works. It's all about him. All about him. We work because we know him. We don't work to get to heaven. No, no, no. So here let me tell you this. The visions or the dreams or the things he impresses upon your heart, the devil will try to bring division. Division, whatever he can. Satan always steps in with division. Satan wants to kill the vision. What God has given you, Have you allowed the enemy to kill it? Or it's almost at death? Don't let him. Remember, Satan cannot succeed if we do not allow him to do so. He can't at all. We trust in our God. We look to him. And we move forward in faith in him constantly, constantly. What God puts upon, and I know either he's put some things on your heart or he's about to. He's about to move by the Holy Spirit. And so you take those things, you write it down, and you pray over it every day. And you say, Lord, keep the vision alive in me. And always remember, the enemy sees it. And so he tries to bring division so that it falls. I wonder how many people God has called to do things, and yet it was not done for the kingdom of God. But I also look at how many times God has called and we have obeyed, huh? Hallelujah. Obeyed the Spirit of the Lord, letting him move. Come, Jesus, come. Jesus is coming, people, soon.